Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit then.
Plus minus.
Curry driving again. Good! Oh, you're kidding me!
Tell Marcus that he asked that question about my defense. You hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night. I think he got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Warriors Plus Minus is back, and so might the team that we talk about. I got Tim Kawakami here. I got Anthony Slater. The Warriors are back at practice. They play on Wednesday. We're starting the resumption of their season. Are we ready for this, or are we kind of cooked by the time off? I don't know. Me and TK haven't had time off. We're at 49ers. I don't know what Anthony Slater's been.
I've got a huge Thunder story coming this week because I just decided to just go cover the Thunder. I mean, you know, the Kings, you know, the brand is fading a little bit up here, right? The interest. Sorry, I shouldn't be getting into this. The one thing I will say.
I was about to say, hey, let's start with a little Kings plus much, dog. Go ahead.
This is actually going to end up being longer than the All-Star break for them because the All-Star break is a Wednesday to a Thursday, I believe 8 days, and this is going to be a Monday, you know, all the way around to a Wednesday. Obviously, it's so much that goes into it that feels nothing like an All-Star break, which we'll get into, but it is going to end up being 9 days off in the middle of the season.
And, you know, the odd part about, like, just being there and talking to people, like, they're still not like, all right, we're ready, let's go. Like, it's still like, all right, we kind of have to get back right now, so let's start the process. I mean, in the end, dealing with stuff like this, you just have to do it anyway. Like, no matter what, at some point, you have to get up and get back to life, right? And the first step will always be, like, incredibly hard. But this isn't like, all right, we're refreshed, we're revived, let's go. This is more like, all right, let's begin the process of returning. But it's going to be a process because they're going to, inspired by the video from or the tribute from Belgrade, I think they're gonna turn it up. They're gonna like really try to honor Deki, and that's gonna create all kind of emotions. So that first day back is gonna be something.
Yeah, I was thinking even like yesterday at practice might have been like they took so long just to even get back to practice. And remember, they were gonna practice on Sunday and then canceled it. No, this is gonna be kind of open gym. I think they almost couldn't bear that more than anything to see, you know, we know Deki was going to be, you know, working with the big guys, and we know that he was going to be over there in that basket.
Kevon was on a different basket.
Yeah, exactly. They probably couldn't do that. I think Hilton Armstrong was there working with people on that basket that we know so well. See, you know, when the door opens, it's right there. And it's him, you know, Deki grabbing the rebounds and smiling and joking with the guys. I think that almost maybe was like the step they pushed off that they just didn't want to deal with. And the game's going to be hard.
It's the first one, yeah. It's the first one.
Yeah, the game's going to be hard. It's going to be, everything they had to do, and Kurt talked about it, and I know, like, he the dealing with the children, you know, and as Marcus, you wrote about this today, and, you know, I don't think they're young children, but they're still his children, and, you know, probably in their teens, and I think Steve Kerr is the one who to talk to them, was representing the organization. We know that's who he is. We know that's the character he has. We know the losses he suffered, but I think for the team, I mean, there's for the family, it's obviously devastating, and for every his friends, devastating. For the team, I think it was, what's that first practice, what's that first meeting going to be like, you know, just where he would normally sit, where, you know, who would be working out with him. Sarich and Looney, I think, would be, you know, obviously the big two with that. And maybe getting the, through the practice was the toughest. Obviously, tomorrow is going to be really tough, too. But it's going to be so tough, I'm not going. But I think, you know, you have to take steps. And they, you know, 5 days, I guess, what, 5 days where they didn't practice, I guess, two canceled games. And then
well,
maybe
let me do the math. Wednesday, Thursday, yeah. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, 5 days, like, completely off.
Yeah, and when they were going to practice on, like, they were literally going to practice on Sunday and then called it off. And I just think they realized how tough that was going to be. But maybe that's, like, the big step they had to take. And they're past it now, at least that part of it, the structural part of it.
It sounds like the family's going to stick around for Wednesday's game. I don't know how involved or not involved they're going to be. I'm sure it's completely their own choice, right? But that if that's wrapped into it, that'll add an extra layer of, emotion to it. You know, I was talking to the Hawks people yesterday because they played the Kings yesterday, and they, like, you know, and they have people in their organization that used to work for the Warriors. You know, Dan Martinez is one of them. But, you know, I think they're kind of like, you know, like, what type of atmosphere is it going to be Wednesday? What do you expect, Marcus?
I think it's going to be tough. I mean, you got Kevon Looney, who works very closely with him. Draymond Green works very closely with him. That's two of your starters who are probably going to be really emotionally, like, you know, difficult. Dario Saric knows him more than anybody on the team, known him longer. He has been with the family, Steve said. Like, he's been a guy who's like, all right, I'm going to take care of the family as everybody kind of parsed out the duties. So that there's another that's three players right there.
By the way, Bogdanovich on the other side for the Hawks was quoted after he played. He played basically like the night of and said, like, I almost didn't come to the arena tonight. You know, so, like, I mean, as we all know, pretty much every team in this league has somebody that, like, views him as a mentor.
I mean, Jokic hasn't even
– Yeah, Jokic can't talk yet. Yeah, he can't talk. So. Yeah. Steph is, like, really kind of shaken. You know, Steph's already just, like, kind of, like, emotionally connected to just about everything. And so even if it wasn't – even, you know, like, speaking to him about it, he definitely – you know, had this, like, relationship with Deke on his own. But just the idea of Kevon Looney and Draymond and Dario being hurt is going to bother Steph. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the kind of – I mean, you just got all these little, like
– You didn't mention but Klay Thompson, too. He kind of feels this type of stuff pretty deeply.
No question. You know. Klay Thompson. The other guy who, like, one of the, like, longest tenured people on the team, Chris DeMarco, right? Like, close with him is gonna be affected, and that reverberates with the people he works with. Like, there's just gonna be all these little moments that's gonna, like, somebody's gonna be devastated by it. So I think it's gonna be really emotional. I wouldn't be surprised if you see people crying on the court. I wouldn't be surprised if you see the emotion come out. I don't know if that means they'll play well or not. Like, you kind of never know, but I think it's going to be one of those things. Probably not to the level of what happened in Belgrade, but the fans are going to respond to the players. You know, they're going to get the sense of, like, I mean, I don't think a lot of people knew Deke, but what we know is they love that dude.
Yeah.
And that makes it a big deal. Yeah.
Where I don't think it'll be like Serbia is, like, you could, like, the fans in Serbia, right? They're, like, chanting his name.
Yeah.
There's, like, portraits of him and stuff. Like, that he's, you know, I don't want to go as far as to say, like, Kobe Bryant there, but, you know, I did have visions of that, right? Remember the aftermath of Kobe? In America? It kind of felt like a miniature, like, Serbian basketball version of that over there when you just saw the pictures. But it was kind of like a pretty like beautiful tribute, like a service, and scene. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the lights and
the flares going, and yeah, that was.
But I do think the Warriors, you know, they watched it. You know, Kurt talked about that. I think they're going to want to do something that echoes it. You know, it's not going to be like that, right? It's not going to be, you know, felt among every single member of the crowd like it was in Belgrade because of the history there. But it's going to be something like that. I think they're going to be gracious about it, of course. And I think probably Steve's going to say some words or whatever, however this works. But I think there's going to be heavy emotion. I don't think this is, you know, obviously it's going to be another night in the NBA. It's the youth, right? It's 47 years old. It's the suddenness. The NBA just doesn't have stuff like this happen a lot. And I mean, I just, with the Warriors, not certainly not in this era. So I think it's going to be a unique, and they're going to be playing it by ear, I'm sure. But I think it's going to have something, some echoes of what happened in Belgrade. And obviously what happened in Belgrade was just so powerful. I think, and it was beyond anything they planned, right? I mean, the chanting went on and on and on. I don't know that will go on at Chase Center, but it's going to be something like that, I think. And, you know, hopefully it's healing. You know, obviously it'll be sad, but it's going to be something. And, you know, like I was watching that video. We all watched the video. Like, you see the players are just kind of wandering around. Like, you know, they didn't necessarily want to tip off after 7 minutes of that. And I think maybe it'll be something similar. Maybe the first few minutes are going to be really, really strained. But there's going to be a basketball game. You know, Warriors did have to go back to play. People were asking me, you know, not seriously in the last few days, like, can they even, like, should they just, like, wipe out two more weeks? You know, their job is to play basketball. You do have to play. I mean, it sounds crass, but, like, they got two games where they, you know, were off, which the NBA was gracious to do that. I don't know what they would have been like in any of those two games. Like, that would have been a mess. And we see where they are.
I don't think they would have played the first one.
Yeah, the first one they would have played. That was, I think they informed, like, that happened so quick. I don't know whether it was Kerr or Dunleavy, but I think they just informed the NBA, we are not playing this game. It happened so fast. They knew, and you wrote about, you know, the image of Steve outside the restaurant. I don't even want to talk about it too much, but they would not have played that game, whatever. They would have forfeited a game if it came down to it. But now you got to go play. Like, this is what they do. We all have our instances, and we all have to do our stuff. But, it's going to take that moment and then go play some basketball. And, you know, there's practical, like, where are they in the playoffs, trade deadline, stuff that seems meaningless now. But it does. It's what they do. It's what these seasons are. It's why you have a league. And tomorrow night, I think yesterday's practice was the beginning of, like, getting back into the process. And then tomorrow night will be okay. And then they got a back-to-back. Like, boom, they're going to turn right around. Like, this is not going to be like, okay, now we got 2 days to think about this game. Like, they're going right into another game. And then all of a sudden they're going to be looking at the standings. And they're going to be looking at, like, you know, I don't know, you know, is somebody going to be traded? At that point, this might be affected. It almost doesn't matter. But, like, this is going to get right into the real world again. They've had some days now to reflect on it. And then you go back to work. And with heavy hearts, with emotion, but you do go back to work.
Slater, do you think this becomes a net, like, the time off? Do you think it hurts them or do you think it helps them considering, like, how old they are?
I mean, if we're just talking in basketball terms, it's probably player to player. I'm sure Draymond Green wishes he didn't have the, you know, 9 days off right after he was just in the ramp up or however you want to term it. You know, feeling good off that Memphis game, right? What did he play, 23 minutes? Felt like he could play more. Well, you know, it's 9 days later, and they're probably only going to play him 23 minutes again because he's only played one game in a month and a half or whatever. Steph Curry, I could see from a physical and even a mental standpoint, the break being good. Now, again, it's like this isn't the All-Star break, right? We say, oh, what a mental break. Nah, I mean, yeah, you didn't play basketball or think too much about basketball, but I'm not sure you can describe it as that. Even, you know, guys like Kevon Looney, who I would think 9 days off would be good for the body. You were wondering about the mind at this point, considering how close he was to Dejan. So, I don't know. It is probably player to player. If we're just talking like pure, like cold-hearted basketball terms, like, yeah, I could see this being a little bit of a free yourself from, you know, so much of this season has been about like distractions and future and legacy and contract and trades and this and that. I do think this could kind of clear people's minds about like the lack of importance of those small things, like in the grand scheme. So maybe that helps them play better. But at the end of the day, I mean, if we are pivoting to basketball at some point, I still think this team has flaws that don't get solved necessarily. So,
I mean, and they are having to squeeze two more games into the rest of their schedule. Like, you know, that's a real thing. I don't think it's going to be real hard, but it's, you know, squeeze them. They're going to have to squeeze them in. I don't know if they can put them in at the beginning, you know, of the, after the All-Star break. I don't know if that's allowed. But like they're going to have some, you know, they've played fewer games than most of their opponents. It's just a real world thing. I think you're right. I mean, just big picture, whether good, bad, like it does make, oh man, I should be playing more, or oh man, I should get shots, or I don't understand the rotation, or even Kerr, like, oh, what are we going to do with this? Like, it does put that all, like, it's, what is it? It's dumb.
I mean, right, even, point, you're not, you know. I personally don't matter in all this, but it is weird. Like, the Memphis game, prior to the Memphis game, I was talking to Decky for probably 15 minutes about how, like, he was like, it kind of feels like a must-win tonight. You know, he was talking about, like, oh, it's, sometimes it can be tough to go against these teams that don't have all the stars. And you remember in the aftermath how bad that Memphis loss felt for them. And it was just, you know, a day later for that to happen, and thinking back on the conversation having with them, it is like, it's crazy. We were sitting there like talking about how vital this mid-January Memphis game was prior to it, where a day later it's like, well, means nothing, really. Yeah. So, yeah, I think there is some of that.
And then, you know, I don't know, again, I don't want to get too much into this. Again, it does feel inappropriate, but it does make the trade deadline feel less imperative than it certainly did. I think they still have to operate as a basketball team and do what's best for themselves or do what's best for the future. But it isn't like this, oh no, okay, now the trade deadline, it's like a world, I mean, you know, it, we do all live our lives. We have to understand things happen. The world moves on, but it's like, I don't know. I mean, do you want to bring somebody new into this? Like, you know, do you want to send somebody out who's been mourning with everyone else? Maybe. It's basketball. You can't stop playing. You can't stop living.
The but business it does change more than the, anything. Yeah, I know what you're saying. But
it does change the tone of it, I guess. I don't know. I think they don't know. You have to see what – maybe they play a couple games, and you're like, yeah, this is a basketball team. Like, that you do have to operate. This is the – end of the Steph Curry prime. You know, these questions and these discussion points that we've been, you know, raising on this podcast and other people are still there. They don't go away. But I don't, you know, I just think it's less urgent, and it should be less urgent, and you deal with it as you deal with it, and you deal with it as you feel. And maybe it would be wrong to stop doing business. You know, that would not honor Decky's name.
That's what Steve said, right?
Yeah, you know, and you just keep going. But I do think it's going to hit them, you know. It does, it, you know, for the last 6 days they weren't thinking about it. I'm sure of it. They were, you know, absolutely were not and shouldn't have. And maybe you can restart that. There is some time before February 8th, but I wonder about it. You know, I know how I would feel. I know I would, like, just forget about this, and then we'll deal with it in, you know, in July. But maybe they won't.
And, like, what do other, like, I was curious about how do other teams handle this? If you've been talking and y'all have been working towards something, does this time, you know, and now you got to drop out for a couple of days because you're dealing with something major, right? Do they pause, or, you know, does another team come in and, like, now those conversations go? Like, how do other teams handle it? I was curious, but mostly I'm just fascinated with, like, practically, how do they get back? Like, we know Mike Dunleavy is out scouting, like he's back out on the road. They're practicing. Slater, what are the things that are going to start happening here that resumes kind of the Warriors franchise?
Huge homestand, you know, it just is. They're 18-22. They need to make pretty substantial choice in the next 2 weeks, because even doing nothing is a big choice, right? And if they decide not to in the next 2 weeks, I think some of it will be informed on, like, how the next 2 weeks looks. And I mean, Mike has talked about it publicly, but, you know, anybody you talk to privately too, like, they wanted to get a look at this team with Draymond, like, kind of a final, like, could this team actually possibly have some type of run in it before they made any, you know, bold, like, you know, path forward choices, which, you know, could include salary dump, could include, you know, using future assets to try to, you know, there are various maneuvers or non-maneuvers that could be made. And I just think, look, they're about to play in Atlanta, a Hawks Kings back-to-back, then Lakers on ABC Saturday night, then Sixers, who just had Joel Embiid score 70 points next Tuesday on TNT, four straight home games. That are just they're big, you know. Let's say they go 1-3 on this homestand, then they're sitting at 19-25. But let's say they go 3-1 on this homestand, then they're 21-23 with a boost heading to, you know, into a road trip. So I don't know if that answers your question, but to me, like, it's just like, you know, it is a big week for their decision making. I think.
Do you think? Yeah, I mean, like, how do you think they change? Like, what changes now? Like who? How do the duties, like, change? And
because the Bob Myers is no longer here, or because of what has happened over the last?
Because what has happened.
I don't think much really, I mean, changes at all. Like, you know, the front office still is intact.
Like, do they have to go get another big man guy?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they got Hilton Armstrong, yeah. I think, can take more role in that. But yeah, I mean, probably eventually. I don't think you do it right away. I think it's
an off season thing. Quick.
Yeah, I mean, you've got some assistants. You've got guys who are moving up in roles. Chris Weems is taking more responsibilities. I think he's a clipboard guy this year, right? And
yeah, rotation guy, iPad guy. You would even say at this point. Yep.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, they've got guys.
They have a huge coaching staff, which includes, by the way, like G League coaches if they need to.
Yeah, they're around. They're around a lot, and they're in that second row, and Decky was in the second row. I think it's the personal stuff that's going to be irreplaceable. You know, again, like with Saric and Looney, especially, and some other guys. I think Steve Kerr, you know, I think Ron Adams. Like, these guys, you know, I don't know how that affects them. And you know, maybe we can talk about, you know, what does this mean for this coaching staff long term? My initial response was, I think, you know, Kerr is going to want to keep coaching for a long time. Like, this is not just this tragedy, but the fact that he's so good at the team part of it, that he's such a natural leader in times of crisis. He's felt this. He said this. He felt he's born to be a coach. He's born to do this. And maybe if there had ever been a moment where he felt frustrated with them, because clearly it's been a very frustrating season. We know he hasn't pressed all the right buttons. He's admitted he hasn't pressed all the right buttons. But something like this, I think, it just kind of further illustrates what he can do, his importance, his love of the job, not this part of it, but the job of everything it encompasses, and his irreplaceableness on this team. Like, there's no one else who could have done this. I mean, Myers could have if he was there. He's not there anymore. Other than that, who could? Steph, maybe, but Steph doesn't, you know, want to or need to have to put every pour into everything like this. He's got play. This is Steve Kerr. So I don't know. That's just Marcus. You were there. Your sense on, like, just the
Marcus, you wrote
Kerr in the big picture. Yeah,
you
the
wrote
big
a,
picture of this for Kerr.
Anybody who didn't read it needs to go read Marcus's story on it, number one. But two, what is your larger takeaway about what you wrote and reported on, I should say?
That this is like, man, he's still messed up. Like, that was, like, you know, part of it. There's so much that happens behind the scenes. And, you know, if you've dealt with any deaf, you know all of the layers. Just like, I was asking a few people of this, but it's like, they seem to be a little bit worried about, all right, worried about Steve. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, who's gonna cover for Steve, because he's been covering for everybody else? Like, how are they gonna pick him up? Yeah, it just, you can tell it was very, it hit them hard. But, like, also, you know, I know Steve has gotten a lot of criticism this year. Like, TK, you talked about it. Like, this has been a rough one from a performance standpoint for the whole team. But, like, there's nobody you'd rather want in this situation. Like, this is what Steve does. Like, Kevon Looney was saying, you know, he doesn't have to change his message for this moment. Like, it's been the same message the entire time. Value the fact that you get to play in the NBA, you know, keep a good perspective, you know, and now this is kind of driving home. So it's almost like he has so much credibility in this moment, because everything that you would think about right now, the whole idea of like, it's basketball, doesn't matter. Like, he's been saying that for the last decade to them, and now it rings home. So when Steph, who's probably seen it all, is like, you know, like, I'll never forget that. When, you know, whenever somebody who's been 15 years in the game won 4 championships, like, y'all never forget that moment. And it's Steve Kerr. That's the kind of sense I get. But I wonder, like, now there's this fight to get back, and there's, like, checking on all these people. And the thing that I think we know but a lot of people don't is, like, there's so many other people behind the scenes who deal with the players and the coaches but aren't on the staff. Like, staffers, you know, workers, like the PR team, the, you know, media team, like all these people.
Equipment.
Like, they were all there.
Medical, yeah.
They were all there. Those are the people who go to the team dinners, because it's, you know, like, they don't, like, it's like, hey, we're on the road. This is great. Let's go to the team dinner, right?
Like, high-level food.
Yeah, they're living it up, right?
And by the way, like, with this is what makes the scene of it so wild, but it's like, these are like stress relieving moments within a road trip.
They love these dinners. They look forward to
this. Great,
yeah. And Valtors is their place again. You know,
I mean, Tim, we should highlight that, because it's like, honestly, if you were like, name like 3 road restaurants that like define, like, you know, they're going there during travel because they love this restaurant. So this is a top 3. Is this
no question? No question about it.
Well, also because it's they always go to Salt Lake, right? You're always going there, and it's such a, you know, unique place in Salt Lake.
It's a Ron Adams special. He's Ron always Adams loved it. And by the way, it's not
Jaren Collins. You know, when he played in Salt Lake, that was his favorite place. So there's just this history they have with that place. I've eaten there. It's an incredible food,
and it's nice. They have space, right? Like, they can get
New
their
York.
Private
it feels
thing.
Like you're, it feels like you're in New York. It really, and you're in the middle of Salt Lake City, downtown. You're not in the outskirts of town. Yeah, it's one of their favorites. There's no. I did a whole story on their favorite dinners and their favorite places, and Valtors is just an automatic. It's not even, you know, it's not even a discussion. Just for the food, the ambiance,
and particularly for the coaching staff, which is what makes this.
Exactly, and I think there was some sadness on my understanding. You know, the restaurant itself, Walter, had passed not too long ago. Like, you know, I think there was some melancholy even going into that night, and then to have it happen like that, they treasure these dinners. Like, they, again, I wrote a whole story, and they all could name their favorite dinners. You know, and the barbecue in Memphis. You know, all these things. Like, these are signposts for them. It's where they decompress. It's where they get to know each other. It's where, you know, staffers.
It probably matters more than the games than them, right?
Yeah, it's
the
thing for what they talk about it. Yeah, their memories of it. It's where, you know, Boga was talking. It's where I got to know Draymond. I went and got to know him in a layup line. I got to know him sitting, you know, having good food in a nice restaurant. It's their culture. And Kerr loves good food. And Myers loves good food. And Steph and Draymond love good food and good wine and companionship. And so it's just the whole thing kind of emanates from there. And Walter is like, you know, like their number one place. So I think that too is part of, and you know, and to be there when it happens. I mean, again, this is hard to say. You know, there's so many different ways to take this, but you know, it's terrible that it has all happened in front of them. But he was there with them. You know, it was in his basketball family. He wasn't alone. He was you know, around them. It's terrible. It's a tragedy. But I think that part, it was in the community. This is what they're doing.
Like, yeah, if you're his family, you'd rather, you don't want him to be alone in a hotel. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that is, I know, I've heard coaches say that. That's absolutely. Like just, that's a nightmare. They, you know, again, it's hard to avoid. But that they were in a great place, you know, in with his friends, with his basketball family. Incredible tragedy. So sad. But I thought of that immediately, you know, and Walter, again, we've sat at the table, Marcus, you and I, and it's a great place, and that food is incredible, and so it's part of who they are. They're going to think of loss now with that restaurant, but they can also...
Do they ever go back?
I don't know. Yeah, that's it's like, I would think you'd want to, but maybe you won't. You won't. I know, it's tough, but that fact that... Yeah, I mean, Marcus and I were talking when we heard it was at an dinner. Like, where was it? I guarantee it was the Walters. That's their place. And I think it was, you know, sometimes Kirk calls these. He just wants everyone together. He wants everyone, you know, as many people who will come. I don't know how many players were there, but I think imagine a few were.
Four to five.
Know, yeah, this is a rough time in the season. This is, we're, you know, under fire, and we know the trade deadline. Let's all get together. And let's all talk about things that aren't about basketball. They love these things. You can imagine how valuable they are. And for it to happen like that, it's, you know, incredibly sad, but it's also incredibly meaningful that that's where it happened.
Should we talk a little basketball as far as, like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, again, let's make it clear. If anything, like, it's not as not very important.
Well, and we will have plenty of podcasts beginning basically this week that are breaking down, you know, a team that is in crisis, you know, in other ways also.
I think there's just a real possibility they can't get much done. I mean, we talked about Siakam a lot because I couldn't think of many others or any other.
The Pacers, what's clear in the aftermath is the Pacers are willing to give Pascal Siakam,
we got all your money, baby. That's what they say. We got all your money.
Yeah. And that was part of the deal. That was part of the deal.
I'm willing to give him a max, essentially, which is like, you know, there's a lot of people in the league, including, I think, the Sacramento Kings, that are like, you know, we'd like to have Pascal Siakam on the team, but we're not ready to just give him, you know, 4 or 5 years at, you know, 40-something a year and rising. So that part of it, especially with the future assets that had to go out the door with it, I think that's where the Warriors were basically one of the many teams that kind of bowed out of the conversation. And, you know, criticize
or not. Waiting for the price to go down.
Yes, right? waiting for the price to go down and also waiting for it to be a situation where maybe Siakam would be fine coming and playing it like a rental with like a, hey, you know, maybe I'll come back on a bargain, which, you know, if it would have been unwise of him, as we can see now, because there was a team out there willing to give him this type of money. So
I imagine he probably knew that quite a while ago. But it's kind of the way that works, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the agent kind of feels it out and like guides him to the place. I think it happened with Ananobi too, to the Knicks. Like this.
So you're saying he was like, I don't want to go to Indiana, but I know it's there.
You know,
I'm not saying that.
You know what's become very...
It's just the combination. The path was clear, put it that way.
The free agency almost doesn't exist for the big, big players in the league anymore. They don't get to it. You know,
remember Tim Duncan went and got dined by like Orlando.
I mean, I don't know why you went back to Tim Duncan. I mean, Kevin Durant seems like, you know, pretty good. But, you know, it's free agency's dying in that sense where, you know, Marcus, I mean, you spent the last several weeks talking about how the Warriors need a number two. kind of like a new highly paid number two because it's not on the roster next to Steph Curry now. And the truth is, like, you can't just wait till free agency to sign him at this point. Nah, like, it's a difficult path for the Warriors to even create cap space to do it. So it almost has to be done, you know, through the trade market. And I guess the question, like, do you think Siakam would have been worth the assets and the extension that it clearly would have taken?
Yeah, I mean, I watched him play in Indiana, and I've kind of lost. Like, I would have said, all right, yeah, get Siakam, but the max thing is a bit much.
Well, here's what, if he was 27, I'd say yes, absolutely. He's 30. The skill set probably will linger, but I don't know if it's going to linger until he's 35. And I can understand that. Listen, like in baseball, you're paying all that money for the first 2 years, really. And then the rest is just, so what? But you also don't have a salary cap in baseball. And you don't have the same kinds of luxury tax charges that the Warriors are under. So I get it, especially if it would have cost them Kuminga. He would have been really nice for them. Really, really nice for them. They might have had to make some adjustments, though, because like there's some overlap with Draymond there. Or Looney, or both. I mean, I think the ideal thing would have been Saric and Siakam, frankly. So, you know, it wasn't the perfect fit. Indiana just goes bloop right in there, and you know, he's a really nice fit. And Anobi was just boop right into the Knicks. Don't know if it was the same for Siakam at that age. The problem is there's a scarcity. Like, who do you try to get now? Like, would it have been worth overpaying him because he is that guy, at least for the next 2 years, because there's no one else like him? I don't know. Maybe there's somebody else like him, but I can't think of it. Like, we went through it. I mean, I can't
think
of it.
And if they are, how do you get your hands on him? Yeah.
Yeah, like Tyler Hero, that guy? I think Miami's not trading him anyway. Like, you know, Harrison Barnes is not that guy. It does feel like baseball almost. Like, you got to overpay like crazy. Kyle Kuzma is
Jeremy Grant. I mean, these are the names out there. Kyle Kuzma, Jeremy Grant, Zach LaVine, DeJounte Murray.
They're step down. They're from Siakam. But yeah, they're younger. Like, most of those guys, or all those guys, are younger. But they're not as good as Siakam. Like, Siakam was the one you really would have said, okay, yeah, I can understand that for 2 years, maybe not for four. Some of those guys I wouldn't think for 2 years even. Like, they're like Harrison Barnes. They get Harrison Barnes for whatever. Does that make them better?
Well,
a lot better.
First,
you know?
Like Harrison, like the Kings are trying to. Although Harrison Barnes was great last night, but
he dropped a solid 30 last night.
Yeah, yeah.
Kings plus minus.
But no,
you know who else looked great? DeJounte Murray.
Yeah, yeah. They're a good player. That might be the most intriguing name. But honestly. And this is part of why I think Siakam wasn't that appetizing to the Warriors. Like, I think there's more of a desire to, like, get off future money than add future money, if you know what I mean.
Get off future – if it's between that and do nothing. You know, they want to get off of money and add talent, but if they can't add talent, the next step is get off of money.
Well,
I think, by the way,
getting off of money, future money now frees up a little bit of flexibility to potentially get – the type of player we're talking about come off season. But, you know, again, like, then that's punting. You know, maybe you want to say punting
you got Clay. You got Clay and Chris Paul's expirings.
We're talking about Andrew Wiggins' contract here.
Yeah, and then Andrew Wiggins is the long-term one. So that's the one I predicted that he's going to get traded. You know, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know anything. I just think that's the likeliest that they can move and just take nothing back. And maybe attach.
Well, deals
you have to attach something. Don't take money back, or don't take big money back for sure. I don't know what the market is for that. I hear different things. They probably can move them if they are incentivize it. But you know, how far do you have to go to incentivize a package? You have to put a first in there, unprotected for whatever. But I think the likeliest thing, because I just can't see a player that would really help them for sure in a money slot they could take, is to move Wiggins and get back not much. And, you know, I don't know if you guys would agree with that. I just think that's the likeliest scenario. It would not bother their rotation that much, frankly, because you just can put Kuminga and Moody right into it. And Gary Payton's coming back at some point, whether he stays healthy or not, I don't know. Like, there isn't, you're not losing a rotational, you know, thing that you can't replace, because we've seen what Andrew Wiggins has been for this season. I just think that's, with everything that's going on, with Siakam off the table now, without seeing a lot of other great pieces, I think trying to at least move Wiggins, and doesn't matter what they get back, if it's, as long as it's not money, I think is the likeliest scenario.
Is there any opportunity to essentially use the Wiggins as a dump, but get one of these rental players? You know,
well, that was going to be Siakam.
I mean, there's some others out there, like, you know, do you go get DeMar DeRozan, Jeremy Grant?
DeRozan's an interesting one, I think.
Yeah. You might, the key is, like, you know, you probably have to throw in Kuminga, which they would rather not do.
I think, you know, again, as they're like shifting mindset to the future, maybe we'll see. Part of getting off Wiggins is to free Jonathan Kuminga to be a 30-minute per night player every night, right? There's no longer that whole like him or Wiggins scenario where they basically have to split 48 minutes because there's such a hesitancy to play them together. To me, that like really clears the runway for Kuminga, who in a lot of ways I think we would all believe or has earned it, right? With his play. And also, he's extension eligible this summer. And if there is a desire to keep him around, and you know, as flawed as he seemed at times and as much of a question mark as he still might be, like what he'll be long term, you know, they drafted him 7th overall. And I do think there's somewhat of a hope and belief and desire that like something that they got with those 3 lottery picks is going to like blossom, that, you know, it kind of clears the deck to maybe be pay Kuminga.
Agree. And even
he's going to command some money, by the way.
Yeah. You don't have to do it next summer. No, you don't.
Yeah.
But if you get Andrew Wiggins' contract off the books, you're not as dreading, oh my God, somebody's going to offer him a restricted deal in 2 years, and we can't match that. Because that's what they were worried about with Poole, right? Like, someone's going to do something, and we're going to have to lose him because we can't match that kind of money. We better sign him now for the money that we can figure out, and then we can still trade it. And with Kuminga, it's much more up in the air. I don't know that you necessarily have to do it next summer. You probably would like to at a number you like, but you know, he doesn't have a lot of incentive to do it at a discount number. And you know, go through the year, and then make him a restricted free. He's a restricted free agent at the end of, you know, July 25, and you deal with it then. I think that with Wiggins off the books, that's where, and if you don't add it with Clay's money and you don't add it with Chris Paul's money, then they're a lot freer to do stuff like that where they really felt locked in previously because they've had all these tax burden, they had all these long-term numbers on the books, and they're going to start to come off. And I think we'll see that. These things are going to start to come off, and Wiggins is going to have to come off for them to feel, you know, they'll get their mid-level back, right? Their taxpayer mid-level, they haven't had that. And they felt very restrained by it. It's not a huge thing, but it's a device. It's a vehicle that they have not had to use. And now they'll get it back if they get under the second apron. And, you know, they're probably going to get it under it anyway, but if they move Wiggins, they know they can get under it. And then they could re-sign Paul if they want to, or try to. Or re-sign Clay at a lower number. Like, these things become more in play once Wiggins is off the books.
Massive breaking news by our Sham Sharania. Bucks just fired Adrian Griffin.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
There was some noise building.
There's been lots of noise, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I get it. But what the hell did you hire him for in the first place if you weren't going to go with him? I mean, okay, whatever. I get it.
Let's close the podcast and then let's have this discussion.
Let's see who. Who is there? Any trade candidates on the Bucks for the
Brooke Lopez,
Chris Middleton, Dame?
Wow! That's, I mean, again, I
they're understand. In the same they're in the same shape as the Warriors with all these old dudes.
Except a slightly better record, but slightly better record.
No, and they have definitely better, but their trade pieces are older. But okay. Yeah, massive news.
I got something else for y'all on that, but we're gonna need to take that off podcast.
You got anything else?
No, I'm good.
No. Tomorrow's gonna be emotional night, and just brace for it. And they get kind of closure, get through it, and then they keep playing. So that's the way the NBA business works.
Perfect ending. We'll catch you on an all 82 for sure at some point.
Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow. If not, we'll holler at you on the next Warriors Plus Minus. Let's hope we'll be back to basketball. We'll be right back.